We praise you this morning. Thank you for your working. Your working is so wonderful. We praise you that you have called people for yourself and you draw them into you. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you also for this forenoon. Speak also to us through your word, which is spirit and life. Draw us all into you. You are the reality in which we walk. Yes, we want to see your desire and understand what is your planning. Again, we commit our hearts to you. Lord, dwell in us and use us all for your plan. We are reading Hebrews 11, 8 through 10.
Lass uns mal die Überschrift und die Verse zusammen lesen.
The title of the message is,
können das alle sehen? Die Stadt, die Fundamente hat.
The city who has the foundations. 11, 8 to 10. The city which has foundations. All together. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Abraham waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Praise the Lord. God has prepared a city for them. And 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Praise the Lord. God has prepared something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Praise the Lord. Yes. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful gospel meeting. And today, we want to see again what the goal of God is with his reborn believers, with all his children. In Esslingen a few weeks ago, we had a fellowship about these verses, and Hebrews 11 was also our emphasis on the Young People's Conference, or maybe those who listened to the messages. And this word, the eternal purpose of God, is so central, and the verses are so precious, that we see that we need all again a refreshing of our vision. What are we here for? What are we here now and no place else? There are other Christian groups too who read the Bible or preach the gospel. We need a vision. Vision sounds a bit unusual for many, but it means revelation. Something that no man can explain it or show it to you. It's nothing strange, although it's not always easy to understand, especially to the one who has not seen it. But it means something that God is giving, that it is on God's heart. He is invisible. But still, He wants to show to man, He wants to show it to man at any cost. By the Bible, it says God is a hiding one. He hides himself. He is not going around on the market and shouting there to people, as some do with their parties or advertisements and so on. But God wants to reveal it to men who have a heart for Him. This is what the Bible says clearly. There are, praise the Lord, men who have a heart for Him. Isn't it wonderful? Don't we want to be such people? I want to be such a one. Lord, reveal what is on your heart. Reveal me more what is on your heart. And Abraham was such a man. Abraham was such a one. Bible says he was a friend of God. Bible doesn't say it of everyone. And many of you know those verses in Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham obeyed. He went out from Ur and Chaldee. He lived there at this place where he had to go. It should be in his inheritance. He was there as in a strange place, in a foreign country. Not in a beautiful castle was this his inheritance, but he lived in a tent. It's relatively easy to build up. Maybe a little bit more difficult than your tent you're using in your holidays. But there was some. It's not so comfortable. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But then verse 10 says, he waited for the city. He waited for something, and this is mysterious. He waited for the city, which has foundations. This is a term that is unusual. A city, and which has foundations. Abraham must have seen something, otherwise it would not say that he was waiting for it. If you go back to the original, it's not the usual word for waiting, just as you're waiting for the bus, and the bus doesn't come yet. But waiting prefix ex out of something. He was waiting with longing. He is waiting very much. Not only a normal waiting, but full of a desire. So Abraham waited. It shows, and the city, where did he come this idea from? God must have shown something to him because he was a friend of God. This made him to wait with a longing. Abraham was waiting with a longing because God is waiting with such a longing. Therefore, he's waiting for this city. He must have heard and seen something about it. I want to mention a few verses in the Old Testament in order to show the Bible is very consequent. And God is wonderful. He shows not this revelation not only one man, but through the whole Old Testament you can go through and you find hints to this desire and this heart's desire of God until they reach New Testament at the end of the Bible. Many of you know these verses from first in Genesis 2:10-12. It starts right from the beginning, not with Abraham actually, even in Genesis chapter 2, God is showing something in the Garden of Eden. A garden and a river, this is beautiful. This sounds like nature. This is making every heart joyful. But all of a sudden he mentions something, three things, which you know. What does it have to do with the garden? And the river. In verse 10, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon, and so on, Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium. It's something precious. And the onyx stone in English. Shoham. Onyx. Spontaneously, God shows some materials connected to his garden and the river. And he who knows the Bible a bit will find these materials again. Also in chapter 2 with Eve, you know, we see hints of what God has planned. And you need eyes in order, and a heart to see this. Otherwise you will overlook it. For example, in chapter 2:22, in verse 21 he says, he wanted to have a wife for Adam. And he slept. He made him to sleep, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. The rib that God has taken from man, he made into a woman. In original, it means built. Hebrew word is built. It's like building a tower. God built Eve for Adam. This is unusual. Imagine you should explain how God gave Adam a wife. How can you explain it? What did he do? God, he built, This is the truth. This is the scripture. And so God, you know, if you understand it, it shows a bit of what God has planned. This is not by accident. God is doing this purposely, that we would understand. And this is what God has on his heart. I want to build something. Maybe it's not so clear yet what, but it continues. It's with Jacob. Just to give a few examples. Most of you know Jacob is in Genesis 28. He had to run away from his brother. He had a problem with he had a twin brother, Esau, and he betrayed him. And when he was running away, he's fleeing because his twin brother wanted to kill him. He came to a place where he stayed overnight, and they had a dream from God. God appears to him. You can read this. First Genesis 28. But he sees that it is a place where he slept. He did not realize it right away, what a place it was. When he woke up after this wonderful dream about the fellowship with God, he put up a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, literally House of God. How come he had this idea? You know, he was dreaming about a ladder. He slept on a hard stone, but he touched God, and he anointed this stone, and he called it a Bethel. Bethel is like a building, because he also touched something. Probably through this dream that God wants to build something. God, what matters for God is a building. And in the same way, you can continue in the Old Testament. You know what Moses did in the desert hundreds of years later. They did not know each other personally. He did not know Jacob personally. But Moses led the people into the desert, out of Egypt, into the good land. Wonderful. But first, there was the desert. And what is doing with the people in the desert? What did God say? You shall build something so that God can dwell there. And you also know the word, it was a tabernacle. It's a translation of Luther. You know, it means coming together. It was a tent. A tent, just like Abraham lived. He lived in a tent, but something built. And God says to Moses, see, that you do it exactly how I show it to you on the mountain. And later on, in the good land, God speaks to David and says, I show you something, and he gathered materials, and his son Solomon, he built something. Very precious. Wonderful to see this line. God wants to have a building. And in such a way they built the temple. What for? Not just to have a beautiful building, house, but so that God can dwell in their midst. Yes. And to live among them and live and walk. This is God's goal. We haven't finished yet. But you ask yourself, why buildings? Why? What for? It's not a garden like in Eden, you know, with much water and beautiful trees. In the beginning, God had a creation, and we all, the people in the world even know that this creation is wonderful. Isn't it beautiful? But God did it all by himself. He didn't need anyone for it. But it wasn't his goal yet. It was just the preparation. It was only the preparation. God's goal was a building, a city. It's there where God wants to dwell. Not in a park. Not in a green area. He wants to live in his house, in his city. And what is the difference? It needs to be built. This is the difference. The building of the habitation of God, this needs to be in our hearts. This needs to reign in our hearts. This should be the center in our faith. Why are we coming together? Not just to have nice meetings or sing beautiful songs. This is also good. Because God has a desire. I want to build something with these people. I want to build something beautiful. His city, his house, his habitation on earth. And the last example of the Old Testament. Many of you read Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived around the time of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet shortly before the destruction of Jerusalem and before they were brought into captivity. And before Jerusalem was fully destroyed. And Ezekiel, as a young man, he was taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. After a time in Babylon, God speaks to him when he was around 30 years of age, you shall be a prophet. And then Ezekiel started to prophesy in Babylon. And it is wonderful because God gives him words to speak and gives him revelation, visions. You cannot explain it, you know, sometimes. It's difficult to understand about this, the different, the whirlwind and so on. But at the end of Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw something else. Firstly, the temple. At the end of time, there will be a temple. Chapter 40, those who want to read it. The vision of the temple, it says here. And then, finally, at the very end, in chapter 48, he mentions something else. 30 and 35. After he spoke a long time about the vision of the temple, and these are the exits of the city, he just mentions a city. He doesn't give the name. These are the exits of the city, from the north and so on. And at the end he says how it's called, and the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." A wonderful name. The city is called, "The Lord is there." This reminds us of Jacob's experience. He also said, "Here is the Lord." And Ezekiel says the same clear expression. Impression. Where the city is, there is the Lord. He didn't imagine this. He didn't. No man was giving this to him, even not Jacob or Moses or Abraham. Maybe in Babylon he not even have something written, because he was there in captivity. Where did he have it from? It was revelation. It was a revelation from God. This is wonderful. And we will see more. Not only the Lord says, "I will build my church." He also says, "I will build something." And at the very end of the Bible, John, the last of the apostles, the last disciples, and the last disciple of the Lord, maybe also in a situation without a Bible. He could not look at the scriptures. He was captured at the island of Patmos. He probably has no Bible with him. But he sees something of God. Let's read it together. Revelation 21. 10 to 11. Revelation 21, 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me this great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. You see, John had the same revelation. Again, we see it here. The city that God wants to build was planned from eternity. This is what God has shown him. And this is what we also need to see. God needs to reveal it to us. And no one can bring this to you. You can read those verses, but you're not touched by it. But when you ask the Lord, "Lord, this vision should reign my life, rule in my life. I want to be for your building, for what you are building today." Then God has a way. Then God has a way. Praise the Lord. For so many people who are here and have a desire to know His plan and His purpose, to understand His plan and be part of His building. Abraham In Hebrews 11 we see that Abraham had to wait. For Abraham it was the future. He could only see this wonderful city from afar, see it and greet it. He could not be in the building. But praise the Lord, it's different today. Today, we have the privilege to be in the building. Why can I say this today? That today we are in this building. Hebrews 12:22-23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Praise the Lord. Not that one day, you know, maybe one day you will come there, you will come when you go to heaven, but much more, you have come to Mount Zion. The fact, past, and to the city of the living God. Praise the Lord. Today, we are in this city, and we are part of it, to build the church of the firstborn. Isn't this wonderful? This is precious. What a privilege. We have to have this consciousness that we work together with God. Our life has a goal. Not only being a Christian, being reborn, praise the Lord, but to be centered, focused, Lord, build, continue to build up with us. You have not yet reached the goal. And as we sang, for this we consecrate ourselves. For this God is longing. Hebrews 11 says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. These are the saints from the Old Testament. 14, but those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They seek a homeland. What is a homeland? Yes, it's homeland. What is your homeland? If anybody asks you, you have a homeland? Ivica, what is your...
Bosnien-Herzegovina.
Where he comes from, Croatia.
Aber das ist nur ein Aspekt.
This is only one aspect.
Hier meint etwas anderes.
He doesn't say, oh, I come from Ur in Chaldea. There he was born. He grew up there. But what he is saying here shows us clearly that they were seeking a homeland. If they would have thought of this homeland from which they came out, they could have gone back. It was a bit far. It's not so easy to fly back. But he could have done this if he would have had a desire for this homeland, you know, for this. Verse 16. But now they desire a better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, a better heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Praise the Lord. He has prepared us a city, and Abraham had to wait so that he could build with the others. We have to appreciate this. Wonderful. And this is what he means with 34 and 40. All these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they have suffered before. They were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Verse 35. This was a testimony. They were stoned. They were in a prison. Verse 37. Stoned. Sawn to. Tempted. Slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin. They did not reach it. Not yet. God having provided something better for us. You can also say he provided or foreseen something that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Today, there is still something better than simply the promise, you know, to greet it, the promise from afar. What is the better? It is the building up of the normal true church life. Look in Hebrews, wherever he mentions better, better, better sacrifice, a better ministry, a better covenant. What for? It is all for the building up of the true church and city of God. Praise the Lord. This is precious. They should not be made perfect apart from us. The Lord is waiting today, and we can be sure that he is interceding before the Father for our completion, for our perfection in the building up of the church. One point I would like to mention. Why does he say, he speak about the city for Abraham was waiting for? You know, whose creator and builder is God. But who has the foundation? I looked in the original. It is the foundation. In Greek, you don't find the article sometimes. But here, it says, which has foundations. Why the foundations? It means that the other cities didn't have foundations. Foundation. How about the other cities? There are cities around Abraham's time. Also, he was living in a tent, but there was a high culture there of the Chaldees. Don't think that the cities didn't have foundations. You know, the palaces, the houses, the walls, they had foundations. Why does he say the city for which I'm waiting has the foundations? The only foundations. It sounds like it's the only foundations. And we need to see this. These are the only foundations that count before God. If God is building something, he doesn't do it without foundation. He does it in a solid way. Strong. And only these foundations count. And only what is built upon this will remain before God and counts before God. What is the foundation on which a Christian can build up that counts before God and remains in eternity? What is the foundation? The Bible says in the New Testament, Abraham, which is the foundation on which we build? The Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "There's no other foundation which can be laid only Jesus Christ." This is the first. And without Him, you don't need to start to build. You can look around. There are people who call themselves Christians. But they're building something. Some people can partake at the Lord's table if they are not reborn. You know, something is missing, the foundation. Something is shaking. Later you will see it. If the foundation is not correct, you have a problem. You don't see it immediately. But as soon as it starts to shake, because of something, then your house is falling apart because the foundation was not Christ. But not only Christ. Bible knows more. Let's read Ephesians 2. Many have Christ. Those who are really reborn have Christ as their foundation. This is what the Bible says clearly. But let's read Ephesians 2:19-22. It continues. Christ is the first.
Im Griechischen Themelion.
Themelion, you know, the first.
They
had stones as foundation. This is Christ. Nothing else counts. And then in Ephesians 2:19-22 we see, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been put on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." This is Christ as the foundation, and on it there are people proclaim Christ, nothing else but Christ. These are the apostles, no show, nothing else. Not great works and miracles, theater, only Christ. This is the foundation of the apostle and prophets. On this we must build. This is the foundation. And remember the verses in Acts 21, what we see, it's in Revelation 21, we see these stones and with the 12 names on it. Very clear. What the apostle and prophets proclaimed of Christ is solid. And we have to receive everything what they proclaimed. And then we build upon it. And we have to exclude everything that is not brought by them. Leave everything out what the prophets and apostles have not proclaimed. Then you have something solid. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, We need to learn
nicht über das hinauszugehen,
not to go beyond of what is written,
damit wir ein
so that we might have a solid foundation to know,
das zu genießen,
to
das
enjoy essen, this, to eat this,
trinken,
to drink this,
und zu verkünden,
and to proclaim.
Dann kommt
then
Gemeinde hervor,
the church is brought forth, and the church as God wants it. Many say, or some say, Christ is sufficient. Don't say this. It's beautiful, of course. Yeah, you have to have Christ, but if you stop here, you can be led astray from the wind of doctrines, you know, of the deceit of man. Take also the foundation of the prophet and apostles. Enter into the Word. Get to know the Lord with what He wants today. And for this we can give ourselves. Our heart is desiring this. Your spirit wants to have this. And then building is brought forth as God desires. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to with our fellowship. This is our true homeland. This is a true homeland for all the believers. Only here we are at home. We are here not at home because everyone is so nice and we are so fine here. This is beautiful, but not sufficient. But where God is at home, there I also want to be at home. God is not dwelling all over. God is dwelling there upon the, where we also have the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Praise the Lord.